For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with a moment of silence to do with as you wish, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety? We'd just like to welcome you. If you could virtually raise your hand, that would be terrific. And while you're doing that, if there are people in the first 30 days, I'll read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. So tonight, we are discussing step two, and we have Grace and maybe Aaliyah and maybe some of you. We can give virtual welcome to Grace. Thank you, Grace. You don't see me. I'm pointing at your picture. You're smiling. So we're going to start tonight. Let me share my screen. We're going to start tonight on page 45. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. Let me read step two. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we've made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if, when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you're probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. To one who feels he is atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible. But to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he's an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. But it isn't so difficult. About half of our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. Perhaps it's going to be that way with you, but cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found such codes and philosophies did not save us. No matter how much we tried, we could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might. But the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. Oh my goodness, here come the trolls. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how are we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. Grace?
Thank you, David. Hi, I'm Grace. I'm an alcoholic. Everybody hears me, I hope. Yes.
Yes.
I think this is my favorite step to talk on, only because every drop I had brought me in. Lack of power was obviously my dilemma. Qualifying. I came in, my sobriety date is August 31, 2011. My first drink was at the age of 12. And I drank long and hard, and I drank alcoholically from the very first time I picked up at 12. I loved it. It was me, a bottle of Annie Green Springs, and a boy named Nick out behind Galilee Church at the north end of Virginia Beach. And I had found my solution. Every fear, every anxiety, all the shyness, the inadequacies went away. I drank till I blacked out, passed out, puked, and couldn't wait to do it again. And I drank that way until 1987, when after repeated, and I mean repeated, car accidents and trouble and school and police and you name it, I finally connected the dots and figured out that alcohol might be a problem. So I put alcohol down. I stopped drinking. And I could do that, and I did it. Something horrible happened, and I stopped drinking. And for almost 15 years, I didn't pick up again. I never entered the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I practiced a lot of the marijuana maintenance program, but that was my solution for that. So one day, for really nothing, no horrible reason. I mean, my life was totally unmanageable, but I didn't know it. It made perfect sense for me to pick up a glass of wine. And guess what? I was off to the races. And I drank from the very first time I put that wine in my body, I wanted more. I wanted more. And I drank that way, and I drank everything away. Four children, houses, money, careers, husbands, you name it, until it was nothing left but me and the straight edge of a razor. And those were my options. I couldn't get any more booze. It had stopped working. I couldn't get it. Everything was gone, and death sounded like a reasonable option. So when this stuff is read, I didn't have to be convinced anymore that I was going to need something. The lack of power was my problem. I had tried repeatedly. I can't count the number of times I had come to and said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to drink again. How many times my children would say, please, Mom, don't do this. And I meant it when I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I meant it. I had passed a lie detector test. And yet, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours later, maybe even 3 days later, I would rationalize the idea to have a drink again, and I'd be right off to the races. But I had to do that. So by the time I'm reading these pages, all I was doing was nodding, agreeing. I was relating. They were telling my story. I was powerless, and I needed a power greater than me. I needed help. And at first, I'm going to be real frank with you. It was you guys. It was you. It was my sponsor, and it was these rooms. It was the hope. It was this book. So I had surrendered. I rolled up in here this way. I had surrendered. I did not confuse a power greater than myself with the God or the religion of my childhood. I knew I had to follow direction. I knew that, all of my very best ideas got me right where I was, and all the fight was gone. So I'm going to stop with that. Is my co person here?
Well, let me unmute me. No, we don't have a Leah. Could I have? Would anybody like to share on that before I move on to the next paragraph? Just raise your hand. Or I know a few people I'm going to call on probably, like Debbie.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
And I have to say that my body is in this chair in front of this little tablet, but my mind is not necessarily in the same place. Just when we thought we might survive COVID, my husband's Well, defibrillator decided to shock him yesterday, so that brought me into a whole new level of powerlessness. So I am really glad to be here, and hopefully by the end of this meeting, I'll have some kind of lucid thought. But what I know for a fact is I have to find a power outside of myself, because I am a half a second away from a panic attack at 2 o'clock in the morning otherwise. And you know, it seems ridiculous to be saying that for as long as I've been sober, but that's exactly what's going on in my life today. But luckily, or gratefully, I do have some time around these principles. And I know that this step two for me, it's still happening. The first time I read it, you know, I've never been an atheist. I lived my life like I was an atheist, but I never called myself an atheist. So I just thought, snap, move on, let's go on to the next one, because, you know, there's got to be some kind of power out there. And I never acknowledged that it wasn't me for quite a long time. And so year after year of this, my power outside of myself, which I really believe is also inside of all of us now, because that's what we're going to read later on, heavily brought me through so much stuff. And so I know that this too shall pass. I used to hate that slogan when I came in. And so what I know is the principles work, that no matter what's going on in my life, I still do the same thing every morning when I get up. I pray and I meditate and I try and tap into this source of power that I know can keep me away from a drink, can keep me away from just crazy thoughts going on in my head. So I'm going to pass, I think, because I really probably should be shutting up and listening, but I'm just grateful you're all here. And if you're new, don't worry about what I just said, because you got a whole nother set of things happening that I know there's a solution for. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. All right. I'm going to share my screen one more time. And we're going to continue on page 46. Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make an approach and to effect a contact with Him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe, underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek Him. To us, the realm of the Spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. Grace.
Wow. So, much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. That was huge, that I could come in, I could just do this thing and leave. I used to say a fallen Catholic. I'm a product of Catholicism, and I failed utterly. at least what I heard. And so that was not going to work. I like what Debbie said. She said, you know, she was not an atheist. I never considered myself an atheist either. I don't think I understood what being an agnostic was, but I truly was. I mean, I had no problem with the concept of a God. I just had no idea how to rely on it. But I knew that I was going to have to plug into something. And like I said before, you know, this was a step two for me has always been a practice of taking me, not doing what I think, getting suggestions from other people, possibly following them. There's a novel concept. And eventually I have come to believe. I mean, I have a relationship today with a God of my understanding. I love the phrase, the spirit of the universe. I latched onto that. I'm a product of the 70s. I tried all that stuff. I was trying to get spiritual the wrong way, but I was always seeking something. I was always seeking something. And I love how this book says that, you know, it's in the seeking that I find. I don't know that I'll ever actually sit down and have a conversation with the good Lord Almighty, at least not while my heart's pumping, but I'm always seeking that. And that's where I find the relief. At first, you know, when I came in here, I'm going to tell you, the obsession to drink had been lifted from me. I didn't come in craving alcohol. I know that a lot of people do. But I did come in here with a lot of problems and a lot of crazy thinking and thoughts and ideas. And these steps, and step two, right on time, helped me to unravel the thoughts and the processes that I had had for 50 previous years. And trying to relearn how to think is not an easy process. To ask for help and actually do it, what somebody else says, you know, at the speed of pain, as my sister says, you know, that's how I roll. And when I got in here, I was in enough pain. Today, alcohol, I don't think about drinking all the time, but I can still get tied up and I still have delay on these steps. It's always fear. I'm always going to wind up in the same place. That is, if I follow the process, and step two is right there, where I don't listen to my first thought. I ask somebody, or I at least get quiet and seek that moment, you know, where God can enter and tell me something different to do. So anyway, that's all I got. Keep going, David.
Thank you, Grace.
Okay.
Courtney D., would you like to share?
Hello.
You're there.
Hey, Courtney Alcoholic. Thanks for a great meeting. I'm happy to be here and happy to see everybody. This is just such a great step. You know, I just remember coming in and the whole concept of being returned to sanity was pretty offensive. But you know, that's what we all have trouble with when we get here. And then I just remember how many times as a newcomer, everybody was referring to their higher powers like, oh, it could be a doorknob, it can be anything. And, you know, I did have a concept of God when I came in. And for me, you know, my whole life, my God was like the elf on the shelf, right? You know, so I would pull it down when I was ready and then put him back up there. And, you know, I knew the whole time that I was drinking that I was, you know, kind of just taking for granted the fact that I was going to be forgiven and just taking advantage of that. And so when I got here, I had a concept of my higher power, and I really believed in the difference between religion and spirituality. And I don't know if I had ever honestly prayed about my drinking prior to coming into AA. So when I got here, I was desperate enough that I was willing to go to any length. And I didn't really understand how everything that everybody was asking me to do was related to not drinking and how I was going to find my higher power. But that was the amazing thing about it, was that by following the suggestions and taking these simple steps with my sponsor, you know, all those things started to make sense. Like the call me every day and tell me what you're thinking about and getting to meetings and helping another alcoholic. And all of these things just started to unfurl this most beautiful connection with a higher power. And out of that, you know, very early on, when I was able to just start focusing on doing the next right thing, that obsession was lifted for the drink. And, you know, after a few 24 hours today, it's just like, I know that I'm absolutely powerless over everything in my life, everything. And I love that part in the book where it says we would no sooner go without prayer than we would food, water, or sunlight. But that's all I have. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you. And we're going to continue on page 47. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him he is well on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. Grace?
Oh my gosh. So my first sponsor always talked about hope. The hope, and I think it's such a little word, yet it's everything. When you're hopeless, helpless and hopeless. And step two is all about hope. And the open-mindedness, the humility that it requires for me to not do what I, to not think that I'd have the answer, to be willing to, when I got in here, I mean, that just speaks volumes. Anybody who comes into the rooms and says, I'm an alcoholic and will you sponsor me, and gets a home group and does those simple things, is practicing without even knowing it, the first three steps, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I didn't understand that when I got here. I was hurting and I did what I was told. I was willing to do anything. The open-mindedness, you know, in the spiritual experience, it talks about the honesty, open-mindedness, and willing are essential to it. That every time I shut the door or say, I won't, I can't, I'm not, whatever. If I say no, that means I just took over the reins again. I'm running the show. I can't get to three unless I'm at two. My sponsor today, when I call it just talking, she'll say, you're whining. She'll say, what step are you on? And invariably I'll say three or whatever. She'll say, well, let's back up to two. Cause clearly you haven't gotten it. I got to get in enough pain to be open-minded and willing enough to do what somebody else suggests, or at least not what I think immediately. This power greater than myself, I mean, that was huge. I was raised to believe that the buck stopped here. That I was responsible for making everything happen, and if it didn't go well, it was my fault. I had to fix it, suck it up, and deal with it. The greatest freedom I have found is by the surrender and letting my life unfold as God's will is. I can't get there though unless I do this, without this step. I'm hoping, I don't know, I'm winging it tonight, so I'm going to see where these paragraphs are going to lead me. David gave me a quick synopsis, and I already forgot. So I'm doing this paragraph by paragraph, guys. Please, come on in and share. Thanks.
Thank you, Grace. Leanne, would you like to share?
Sure. Okay, you unmuted me. Hey, everybody. My name's Leanne. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Leanne.
I have this question underlined about, do I believe or am I even willing to believe? Because I have to be able to answer yes to that. And, you know, it doesn't mean willing, doesn't say that I have to believe. It just says, am I willing to believe that there's something bigger than me? And so really having to set aside what I did believe, because I came here with some definite prejudices and some thoughts on religion, because that's what I thought that this was all about. And I was brought to that place where to be doomed in alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis, those Craddock men used to tell me, Leanne, there's no door number three. And that was simple. Like, I needed to be able to see that, like, the garage doors, there's two, there are not three. And, you know, are you willing to walk with us and do what we did? It, you know, really boiled down to that. And I'm like, yeah. And I believed that it worked. You know, when I would talk to my sponsor, I was going to that noon meeting over at Craddock every day, and I was listening to people. I knew they weren't lying. I knew they were telling me the truth. And, for the first time in my life here, and people talk about thinking and drinking like I did. And the thinking really was, you know, one of those that kind of hooked me when people were sharing, you know, thinking about life and these resentments and getting angry and fearful and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, well, if, you know, if I can just go along with showing up at meetings, calling my sponsor, showing up for my home group and doing these things, that I'm going to be led. And if my pride, if they can do it, I can do it. I grabbed hold of that. I'm like, you know, and they told me that. And you know, answering yes to that question for me, and at the beginning for me, it was just that I was willing to believe, like, okay, you know, and then taking some of those simple actions. And that's where the magic started happening for me. It was putting it into action, getting on my knees and praying, showing up at meetings, making those phone calls. And then crazy stuff started happening. It's like, I would call my sponsor and say, you're not going to believe what happened. And, you know, she'd been there before, she knew. And those little God winks, or, you know, I don't know what people call them, that was one of the ones for me. And knowing that, you know, if I stay the course, that I could have that life beyond my wildest dreams. Somebody in my home group used to say that, and I grabbed hold of that and trusted it. Thanks.
Thank you, Leanne. We're going to keep going on page 52. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. Grace?
Oh my goodness. All of those. Oh my word. We having trouble with personal relationships, check. We couldn't control our emotional natures. I was a freaking slave to my emotions. I mean, my whole life. We were a prey to misery and depression. I was praying to God there was a pill that would change how I felt, and nobody would give it to me. Nobody. Had no health insurance. We couldn't make a living. Well, there you go. We had a feeling of, I was utterly useless. Utterly. I could barely go to the bathroom by myself. Hate to be graphic, but it was bad. Full of fear. I couldn't remember a time that fear was not the motivating factor in every decision or indecision I ever made. I couldn't remember a time, from the time, drinking or not drinking. I mean, I wish I could tell you that alcohol was my problem. It was not. These were the bedevilments was my life. And I was unhappy. I was unhappy. I mean, I remember the last couple of years of my drinking, my mother would say to me, you know, I would say to her, I should say, because I don't want to drink. I can't stand how I feel. I can't stand how I feel. I would do anything to not feel the way I felt. And that's not a life. So when I read this and it says, when we saw others solve their problems by the simple reliance on the spirit, I grabbed onto that again. I'm an old hippie. So spirit of the universe. But what I knew was what you guys were doing in these rooms was working. It better work. Because if it didn't, I was screwed. I was screwed. I didn't know what would happen. There was no other options. And it wasn't hard what anyone was suggesting. My first sponsor is, God is my witness, I never remember her saying pray. I know she didn't. She said, get a job. You know, she tried to help me write a resume. She tried to keep me busy. And going to meetings and making phone calls and getting a home group and getting out of myself. I had spent so many years just thinking about me. just thinking about me. To the point, me was gone. Me was gone. So I was willing to do this stuff. So the God idea, again, in the beginning for me, I said the Serenity Prayer, I said the Lord's Prayer. I couldn't remember the rosary, the prayers in my childhood, but I could do what you guys told me to do, and I was following some directions. The God of my understanding today is amazing. I mean, I have conversations, full-blown conversations. I don't have to have these rote prayers, you know, these and thous and arts. Sometimes he's the dude, but I will tell you, God shows up in all of you guys. When I go to a meeting, when I am willing to Zoom, what the hell, you know? I mean, I got to tell you, I came into this. This was my first thought when this all happened. Oh, I don't think so. This is bullshit. You know, because I want to do what I'm accustomed to doing. You know, I like going. I want to see you guys. I want to hug you. I miss you. And I was defiant. Go figure. And I did it anyway. My boyfriend, he ignored me. He just set up the damn Zoom. And here we are. I'm really enjoying it. I went to a lot of meetings before. I'm going to more meetings now. I'm so sorry that the idiots of the world have managed to mess with us. But you know what? We'll prevail. We're going to do what we got to do. I say this everywhere if I get a chance to share, because I think it's important. Because they said to me when I came in, they asked me this question. Are you willing to go to any lengths to get and stay sober? And the answer was yes. And the answer is still yes. And if it means Zoom, I Zoom. With that, read on.
Thank you, Grace. BJ, would you like to share?
Yeah, I'd love to. My name's BJ. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, BJ.
And I'm honored to talk on this step. Grace, I love everything you shared. And actually, the last thing that you just said, absolutely. I think that goes along for me with seeking. I need a new spiritual experience every day. Mm-hmm. As somebody I heard says, there's a hole in my spiritual bucket and I can't stay sober today on the same experiences I had as when I was brand new. But, you know, I came in here believing in a higher power, but I just so desperately needed a new experience. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. When I went to do my first fourth step, I found a journal I thought was empty and I pawed through it a little bit. And darn if I hadn't been keeping a prayer journal while I was drinking, begging God to get me sober. But that was not sufficient for an alcoholic like me. There are people out there who can, you know, go to church or you start meditating or go on some spiritual pilgrimage and that's sufficient to get them sober. But for someone like me, I need these spiritual principles boiled down into a program of action. And what I thought was interesting was in the first paragraph David read, which my sponsor taught me, were the bedevilments, which are the opposite of the ninth step promises. The one that jumped out at me was we couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. And it doesn't say, you know, we can't stop freaking drinking. It says we can't control our emotional nature. Life freaking sucks, man. No wonder we drink. We have to. So for me, when I got to AA and people told me, you know, the good news is there's a solution. The bad news is drinking's not your problem. I didn't know what they were talking about until I'd been sober for a little while. And the only relief I've ever gotten personally is working through these steps. And that has hooked me up with a higher power that works for me in a way that it works for me. But I can honestly say it's really hard to put into words that gift of sobriety. Somebody said, I think Leanne, we can have a life beyond our wildest dreams. For me, what really like clinches that is feeling like I'm useful. It's crazy just feeling like I can be helpful to another alcoholic, or even showing up to work and doing my freaking job and being of service. That keeps me sober today. And I wouldn't be able to do that without this program and without discovering a higher power. And I wanted to say too, my higher power has evolved in sobriety. It's not the same as it was when I started. I think, you know, kind of in concert with that new experience thing. And I am a seeker. Like, there's nothing I won't try. I have friends who are sober as hell in AA, who are Christian, Buddhist, Wiccan, pagan. I mean, you know, it's really personal to you. And that's like super cool to me. You know, I I'm willing to try whatever. You want me to hold a crystal? I'll do that. Drum circle, like books. I love it. But prayer is just absolutely my go-to today. And, you know, my sponsor taught me, if I'm disturbed, then I need to pause and I need to reach out to my higher power. And it never doesn't work. It's kind of magical, and it's not always immediate. It's not, you know, alcohol was my higher power. I was disturbed. I put it in me. I wasn't disturbed anymore. Prayer for me isn't always as quick as alcohol, but it's always better. So I think hopefully that made some sense. Thank you so much for letting me share. And Grace, thanks for being here tonight. I'll pass.
Thank you, BJ. So we're going to continue on some page that isn't marked. Actually, we were fooling ourselves. For deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. We finally saw that faith in some kind of a God was part of our makeup, just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. He was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. It was so with us. We can only clear the ground a bit if our testimony helps sweep away prejudice, enables you to think honestly, encourages you to search diligently within yourself. Then, if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. With this attitude, you cannot fail. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you. Grace?
Wow, that's page 55, by the way.
Thank you.
The idea, you know, of God, I never disputed the presence of a superior being, something that made us. I, you know, in the 12 and 12, at the bottom of the first step, it says, under the lash of alcoholism, we are driven. We're driven here. And that's absolutely my experience. I so much understand what people meant when they said, I'm a grateful alcoholic. Because had I not been alcoholic and been imposed such misery upon myself, I don't even think I went through anything. It's just what it is. I would not have wound up here. I'm a product of a rehab and a place that saved my life. It's a place called Fellowship Hall in Greensboro, North Carolina. There I said it. And I didn't know anything about AA when I got there. And they did I thought that's how it was done. They took you through the first 5 steps in 30 days. And I was so batshit crazy that I thought, well, they're not going to let me leave if I don't do it right. So, let alone how much the damn place cost. But, at any rate, I was struggling with what I thought was the third step. And I've shared this before. And I was trying so hard to wrap my head around that concept, you know, of turning my will and my life over. I just didn't know how to do that as a grown person who had spent her whole life running the show. And I sat on, they had little spots along this beautiful trail with places where you could meditate and get very zen, you know, and whatever. And I'm sitting there just giving it my all, and something happened to me. And something reached down, I don't know, I didn't see a bright light, but I certainly felt something, and it reached down deep in me. And for the very first time in my memory, I felt peaceful. I think what I was the first time I felt serenity. The fear that I had had my whole life was like gone. And I walked off that trail, and people even commented. So, you know, that fundamental thing deep down, I think it was the first time I ever touched it. And what that was, it wasn't the third step. It was the second step. It was like I just kicked down a notch and surrendered a little bit more to needing something bigger than me. And I got it. And I walked off of that trail that day, and people said, you know what? You look different. You feel, I felt different. I walked lighter. I wasn't tied up. I wasn't that woman that wanted to die anymore. I had hope. I had hope. And that's the principle behind this thing, you know, in the second step for me, what my first sponsor used to say. So that fundamental thing deep down in all of us, I have four kids, boy, here, watch my time on this one, David. And I've watched all of them go through the what I call the atheist phase, you know. There's no God. We're just going to die. They're going to throw us in the ground, and the worms are going to eat us. And I gave up. My oldest is 33. My youngest is 22. I gave up a long time ago trying to argue with them. I've watched them systematically as they age a little bit and get a little more pain, start to become willing to believe. It's amazing. You know, so takes pain. Takes pain. So, you know, the God of my understanding today, it's like air. It would be like asking me to go without air today. And the great fact of these steps is, in order for it to work, I didn't have to believe in the religious God. It I get a little, like, my feathers ruffle a little bit when I get in step two meetings and everybody starts talking about, you know, Jesus. And because I love Jesus and I think Jesus is awesome, but that's not what this is about for me. It's about, I have got to learn to stop relying on me. You know, when I get it, when I pass through into this third step, and I know this is step two, but you can't do this without knowing that's coming. And I didn't see a bunch of newcomers, so bear with me if you're there. You know, when I say relieve me of the bondage of self, self is my problem. I am selfish and self-centered to the freaking extreme. It is astounding to me how everything is about me. If I'm disturbed, it's because it's affecting me. And I don't care how altruistic, if it's my kids not doing well in school or whatever it is, yeah, I can tell you, oh, we can't have that. They won't have a good life. Oh, hell no. It's because somebody might say I didn't do a good job as a mother. That's the reality. And as soon as I let go of those old ideas, I'm free to allow them their journey, and guess what? I'm no longer disturbed, which makes me effective for God to use me. So this, you know, whatever, if I have a problem and someone says, what step are you on? Pick one. I'm going to wind up at one and work my way through it, and two's in there. Okay.
Thanks, Grace.
Okay.
Amy Kay, what you got?
Hey, everybody. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Amy. This is my favorite chapter of the big book, and it's because I did not have a long drinking career, but I have had an extraordinary roller coaster ride of a career with my self-centeredness and my self-sufficiency and self-reliance. I was told that if I really saw the perilous nature of my alcoholism in step one, that I really didn't have to work hard for step two. And that has been true for me. I was also told that there is an easy way to find out what my unmanageability and my spiritual malady looked like, the things that I had, my untreated alcoholism. And that was to take those bedevilments and ask myself with each of those things, can I, on my own power, manage to control this? And key for me is looking at what is this like on my own power, my relationships, my ability to help others, my ability to make a satisfying living, my ability to not be dominated by my emotional nature. If nothing changes in all of these situations and I stay in these problems, could I still drink? Well, the answer is yes. And if this was ever just the way I wanted, if I got all my ducks in a row, if I made all the money I wanted, if people adored me, my relationships were satisfying, I wasn't filled with fear, I was able to be of real use to others, even if all my ducks were in a row, could I still drink? The answer is yes. So therefore, can I see that these problems manifest from inside myself rather than from outside? That these things are the manifestations of my unmanageability, my untreated alcoholism, my spiritual malady. That just kind of makes it a really black and white situation for me, even though I want to believe that I have prodigious powers. And believe me, I default into thinking I'm running the show a lot. I still love to play God until it starts to hurt or until someone else is hurt. I am unfortunately the kind of person that I think I'm telling jokes and somebody's leaving the room and they're in tears or they're never going to speak to me again. On my own power, I create carnage. So it's clear to me that I cannot manage my own life. And what's great about the way this chapter unfolds is that I was raised with a fundamental religion. And so I did have honest doubt and prejudice. And I was told that I needed to come to a belief that God didn't want me to use my intelligence, that God wanted me to have just absolute blind faith, that it wasn't going to be good enough if it wasn't blind faith. And here the Big Book is telling me something totally different. It's telling me that all I have to do is start with a willingness to believe, and that this simple belief in step 2 and 3 combined with the action in steps 4 through 9 is going to yield results that I can see and that I can feel, and that I am ultimately going to end up with an absolute faith. But no one is suggesting that I have a blind faith, just that if I'm willing to believe and that I'm willing to take some actions that are suggested. And they're simple actions. And this paragraph we just read, I don't think there's any mistake that it uses the word search fearlessly. It's pointing me right into the heart of step 4. It's telling me how I am going to find this God. I'm going to search fearlessly. And where I'm going to find this God, deep down within me. I don't need to know theology or philosophy. I don't have to understand God to have access to a power greater than my own, which is clear to me at this point that that's my problem. That's what's wrong. And I love that this paragraph ends with "in the last analysis," because I am an analyzing son of a gun. I would love to keep this all theoretical. I would love to read stacks and stacks of books and write papers about all of this stuff and perhaps be convinced. But the truth is that I don't experience God in my head. I experience God in my heart. And on this simple basis, with these simple actions, I become convinced and I'm able to move forward and embrace a little mystery, the mystery of grace. That's really what these steps do for me. I keep stumbling, but I'm stumbling forward into grace. Thanks.
Thank you, Amy. Our final paragraph tonight is on Appendix 2 in the back of the book. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial, we found that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. Take us home, Grace.
Okie doke. I point this out a lot to myself and to others because the trying to figure out what a spiritual experience is or a spiritual awakening, it's kind of like trying to define humility. You ask 10 people, you get 10 different answers. And yet, you want to hide something from an alcoholic, put it in the big book. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Just the awareness of it. Just the awareness that there's something greater than me. I'm walking through the door. I'm walking through the door. It's no harder. That's it. That's the answer. When I'm open-minded and willing, honest, open-minded and willingness, they told me about that in that rehab, the how thing. Because every time I close my mind to the possibility that I'm right and you're wrong, because, alcohol is not my problem. We keep saying that. I can put the drink down. I could always put the drink down. I just kept picking it up. And it was those damn bedevilments that made me do it, So I got to figure a way to get through this world, not without needing to drink again. That's what this book has done for me. That's what these steps have done for me. I have coping skills today. And you know what? I am a seeker. I don't want just not to drink. I want the whole ball of wax. I want that fourth dimension stuff. I want better than my wildest dreams. I mean, when I got here and the people I heard that, I'm like, what does that even mean, better than my wildest dreams? Well, I can tell you, I had no idea when I got here what this was like. There were no words for the way my life feels today. The relationship, the God, this spirit of the universe, my creator, all these fabulous words that these people came up with, gives me more than just hope, gives me a fearless life. I think when I got here, all I wanted to do was die. Dying was what I wanted. It just wasn't happening fast enough. I mean, there was every day I just hoped I could drink enough vodka to not wake up. Damn it, I'd come to again. And I'd have to do it all over again. And here I am a few 24 hours later, and I can't wait to see what's coming. The step two, I don't really get a relationship with him, with this creator here. I get it as I move through. I won't take that fearless moral inventory unless I do three, unless I make a decision. I won't do a fifth unless all of this groundwork has come through. I just won't do it. It's not that I don't want to, I can't. I'm too self-centered and afraid. So thank God for step two. I rely on it. Every day, if not hour to hour. David, I'm glad I rolled in here early. Thank you. And I'm really glad you guys are here. And Zoom away. Thanks.
Thank you, Grace. I'm going to unmute everybody. Thank you, Grace. All righty then. The seventh tradition states that here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to post to everyone. I think that Zoom, yeah, okay. I'm posting a link to tidewaterintergroup.org. You probably can't click it from in there. They've kind of broken some of the hyperlinks. Okay, but the seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup central office, local services, district area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Are there any announcements tonight for the good of AA? Please raise your virtual hand while I'm looking for that. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or need a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members will be in here. Momo, you got an announcement?
Yeah, real quick. I just wanted to say, if anybody is interested in joining, the treatment committee will be holding a meeting via Zoom on Wednesday at 6:30. You can reach out to me directly for details on that. All are welcome.
Okay. Thank you, Morgan. Let's see. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, hang out after the meeting. If you're shy, you can send an email to info@simpleactions.net. I don't see any more announcement hands. Thank everyone who participated. And let's see, Sharon's going to read the last two paragraphs on 164, and then I'll unmute everybody for the Lord's Prayer. Sharon, can you unmute you, or do I need to do that?
Hi, I'm an alcoholic named Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you so much. Thank you for a great meeting. Grace, thank you again. And let's have a moment of silence to do with as you wish, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day
our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.